Acts chapter 2. If I was guessing, I'd say is 167. It's probably about 6 or 9 miles down through there. But there's a sign beside the road and you can't miss it. All right, Acts chapter number 2. I really desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us and speak to our hearts and give liberty in the preaching of the Word of God. Acts chapter 2. Give you just a moment to turn there, and we're going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Acts chapter number 2. All right, verse number 41, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us and letting us be here this morning. Lord, I ask that you just be with us in the remainder of the service and everything that's said and done. Lord, we ask today that we'd take the song to heart that we were singing, Lord, that you'd search our heart, cleanse our heart, prepare our hearts to receive thy word. May the Holy Spirit just have sway in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd give liberty. I pray you'd help me to say everything that you'd have me to say. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder in the service or get in and in any way whatsoever. We just pray, Lord, for your help today. We're thankful for the Word of God. Lord, we do pray for our nation this week. This past week, all the storms and all the heartache and pain and disruption that the storm caused. And then next week, Lord, with the election, God, we just bring all this before thee and ask, Lord, that your will would be done. Lord, that you'd help, God, as only you can. Lord, I pray you'd help the churches and thy people in this nation, Lord, that we would turn our hearts and minds once again unto thee. So, Lord, just have your way in our country. Help us this morning. We thank you for all your blessings. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right. I did want to mention also, let's pray, especially for Brother Patrick. He's up in West Virginia and working with the power company there. So let's pray for all these that are away and working. And you know, that's a dangerous job. So let's keep all these in our prayers this morning. But I want you to look here in verse number 42, and let's read this verse one more time. Verse number 42, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And I want you to notice in the middle of this verse that one word there, fellowship. And maybe if you've got a pencil or a pen this morning or a highlighter, you might ought to underline that word fellowship. We live in a day and a time when fellowship almost has a bad name among Bible-believing churches. You know, there's a lot of churches. There's a lot of God's people that have used and abused fellowship and taken it to a place, I believe, that God never meant for it to be. You know, a lot of what goes on under the name of fellowship is actually just socializing. Really doesn't have anything to do with biblical fellowship, but and just socializing. You know, you could get the same thing meeting together with the Boy Scouts or the Optimus Club or something like that. But real fellowship is not a bad thing. Real fellowship is actually a good thing. It is a necessary thing. It is a biblical thing. And we need biblical fellowship in our churches and in our midst. And we must have biblical fellowship. And so that's what I want to look at this morning. And I want to try to preach on the subject Are you in the fellowship? Are you in the fellowship? Notice in verse number 41, the last part of that verse, it says the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then verse number 42, this group that was added, now that's added to the 120 that met in the upper room, and 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. They were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And what did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And the first thing I want to look at this morning or think about is just looking at that word, the word fellowship. Fellowship is a Bible word. It's a word that you'll find 17 times in your King James Bible. It's found only 2 times in the Old Testament, and it's found 15 times in the New Testament. So it's a Bible word, and it's primarily a New Testament word. And here in verse number 42 is the first time that we find it mentioned in the Word of God. Of course, first time you find something mentioned is always significant in the Bible. And here's the first time it's mentioned in the New Testament. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And if you look at that word real closely this morning, you'll see that it's actually 2 words. There's 2 words in the word fellowship. And you know, that would help us a lot if we had really look at the words in the Bible. Now, if you think this morning that that is fellow's hip, well, you're probably in the wrong church. But you know, there's a lot trying to be hip out here in the world, trying to be like the world and get along with the world. You know, I know how people are. That's the first thing somebody would do is look and say, well, it could also be. But I don't believe that's the way God intended for it to be. It's fellow, the word fellow, and the word ship this morning. And so we're going to look at that just a little bit, just like that. Fellow, ship. There's 2 words there, the word fellow and the word ship. Now, the word fellow, we're going to look at that first of all this morning. That's a Bible word as well. It's found many, many places in the Bible. And that word fellow, it just means to be a companion. We're looking at how that fits in with fellowship this morning. It means to be a companion, to be an associate, one of the same kind. You know, you just can't fellowship with everybody and everything that comes along. That's not your fellow, and I'm not going to get into it this morning, but our Sunday school lesson talked about there's some we're not to have fellowship with. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So we're to be one of the same kind. A pair or 2 things used together. Now in the Bible, you'll find that word together is used a whole lot of times in the same place the word fellowship is used. If we're going to be in fellowship, we're going to have to be together. That's what that word means. And so it means a pair or 2 things used together and suited to each other. And I found this example in the dictionary. It said, of a pair of gloves, we call one the fellow of the other. Have you ever went out to work and you couldn't find your pair of gloves, and you ended up 2 gloves, maybe you had 2 left-handed gloves? I know somebody in the room this morning that keeps something like that on their tractor, and I wonder myself, why? And it don't want to waste. I said, are you saving the other one, you know, in case that one wears out? But you know, that's aggravating. That doesn't work very well. You need, when you go get a pair of gloves, you need the right and the left. They're suited to each other. They're matched to each other. They're made to work together, the one with the other. They are fellows in the literal sense of the word. It means to suit with, to pair with, to match. And so I got studying this word fellow in the Bible. Now, there's something very interesting about the word fellow that I found, and that there are 9 fellow words in the Bible. I'll show you what I'm talking about. But it's interesting that there's nine of these words in the Bible, because the number nine in the Bible is the number for fruitfulness. And if we're going to be fruitful in the Lord's work, we need to have fellowship. And we need to work together. And as it's talking about here in Acts chapter number 2, being in one accord. And so these fellow words that I'm talking about, I'm just going to list them for you. We're not going to go to all the places. It'd take all morning. But you'll find these words in the Bible. You'll find fellow citizens in the Bible. That's what we are. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19. We are fellow citizens with the saints of God. Now that's a blessing this morning. There's a lot of preaching in these fellow words. There's fellow citizens. There's fellow disciples. John 11 and verse number 16. That's what we're supposed to be. If we're in fellowship, we're going to be fellow disciples, followers of the Lord. There's fellow heirs in the Bible. The Bible talks about we're heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing. We are fellow laborers together with the Lord and with each other. You find that four times in the Bible. Paul talked about one of his companions being a fellow prisoner with him. Romans chapter 16 and verse 7. You'll find in the Bible fellow servant or fellow servants 10 times in the Bible. You'll find the word fellowship in the Bible. You find the word fellow soldier in the Bible. You see, there's a lot of connection with the area of fellowship there. Now, before you answer the question about being in the fellowship or not, are you in the fellowship? You ought to ask yourself, am I any of these other things? Am I a fellow servant to the Lord Jesus Christ and in the church? Am I a fellow laborer? Am I a fellow heir with the Lord Jesus Christ? You ever been saved by the grace of God? Am I a fellow soldier in the army of the Lord, working for Him and laboring for Him? And so there's a lot of fellow words in the Bible. Then I looked in the Webster's Dictionary, and there's 18 other fellow words besides all those words. There's a lot about fellow and associated words in the Bible. I'm not going to list all those this morning, but you find in the dictionary there's such thing as a fellow commoner. You know, they said here in Acts 2 and verse number 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, is what the Bible says. We got a lot in common this morning if you're a child of God. If you say by the grace of God, we are fellow commoners. I found in the dictionary, you'll hear this sometimes, fellow minister. Fellow minister, we use that sometimes. You know, preachers, they'll say, you know, they're fellow ministers. And I even found an example over in the Bible in Matthew chapter 26. They had taken the Lord Jesus Christ and they had put Him on trial, and Peter was out there and he was warming his hands by the enemy's fire, and there was a little maid, a young lady came, and she said, "Was not this fellow with Him?" And you know, Peter denied being a fellow minister with the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? He said, "I don't know Him." And he cursed and he swore about being a fellow associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, maybe sometimes that's how we are. But fellow minister, there's such thing as being a fellow sufferer or being a fellow traveler as well. The word fellowship, it means companionship, association, partnership, the company or state of being together frequently. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, if we're really in the fellowship, we ought to be in the fellowship frequently together. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If we handled snakes on Wednesday night, they wouldn't know it because they've never been. I believe if you're going to be in the fellowship, you ought to be in the fellowship Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when the doors are open, we ought to be in the fellowship together. And so there's that word fellow, and there's a lot of things we could say about that. But then there's the second part of that word. It's the word ship. Now we all know what a ship is. A ship is a vessel designed to float and to be navigated some way, usually by sails. That's the definition in the dictionary. Of course, now most ships are powered by diesel engines or nukes or whatever they're powered by, but they're vessels designed to float on the water and designed to be able to be navigated. That's what a ship is. So if we sum all that up together quickly this morning, what that means, to be in fellowship means this: we are all together in the same ship. We're in fellowship. We're all together in the same boat this morning. And so that's why I'm preaching, are you in the fellowship? Now, first of all, there's the word. And that ought to explain enough about it to go on to the second thing this morning. Second of all, there is the witness of the fellowship. Now, there are several things we could look at in the Bible this morning, but I'm just going to mention a few of them. I thought of several. And really, I had to keep cutting down and cutting down, or I'd have never got through. But I want to bring up and think about the witness in the Bible of some fellowships. First of all, this morning, there is Noah and his fellowship. You know, that's first boat, as far as I know of, that we read about in the Bible. There's the ark. And of course, it didn't have sails or an engine or even a rudder as far as we know, but it was technically a ship. And there's Noah and his fellowship. And I got to thinking about Noah and his fellowship. And you know, of all that you read about Noah and them being in the ark, you know something that really is amazing to me? You never read anything about Noah and his family fussing about being together in that ship. Now, you talk about a recipe for disaster. You put eight people, four men, four women, mama, daddy, sons, daughter-in-laws, you put them together in an enclosed space for over a year, and they've got all this pressure and all. You know, I would say there'd been some stressful moments being on the ark, wouldn't you? But you never read one thing in the Bible about them bickering or fighting or yelling. And I'm not saying they didn't, but I'm saying the Bible doesn't say anything about it if they did. You know, that's the way it ought to be in our fellowship as well. You know what they did? You know the key to them getting along in the ark, and nothing said in the Word of God about them fussing and bickering and fighting or anything like that? They got in the boat with God. That'd help us if we'd do that in our churches. They got in there with God. The Lord shut the door. They shut the world out. That'd help us a lot if we could get the world shut out of our lives. And that's exactly what happened. If the Lord hadn't have shut the door and shut the world out, they'd have sunk. They wouldn't have been able to be in a ship. They'd have been in a giant cemetery is all it'd have been. They shut the world out. And you know what else helped them a whole lot, I believe? They got busy doing the work at hand for today. You know, a lot of our problems, we've got too much time on our hands. If we had to work like people used to have to work years ago, we wouldn't have near the problems that we have today. But so many people have so much time to be involved in so many things, it causes a lot of problems in our fellowships. And I tell you, they just got in there with God, they shut the world out, and they did the work which the Lord gave for them to do. The Bible said in Psalms 133 and verse number 1, it said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And do you know, if you look that up in the Bible, there's an exclamation point in that verse. God said, let me tell you about a good thing. It's brethren getting along together, working together, worshiping together. It's a good thing. There's Noah and his fellowship, and there is the disciples and their fellowship. Keep your place right here, and I want to just point out a few things in Mark chapter number 4. Not only is there Noah and his fellowship, but there's the disciples and their fellowship. Fellowship, keeping in mind this morning, see, that's a little play on words. Fellowship is we're all together in the same boat. That's why I said Noah and his fellowship. But over here in Mark chapter number 4, there's the disciples and their fellowship. Mark chapter number 4, let's just read a few verses here. Verse number 35, notice what the Bible says. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent them away, the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, I hadn't really paid much attention to that till I was studying this out. Have you ever noticed that in this great storm, it was not just the disciples and their ship, but there were other little ships with them. They were all in the storm together. Makes me think about churches. He said in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish, is what the Bible says. So here they are, and they've all got in the ship together. And they all begin to pass over to the other side. And a great storm comes, and the wind and the waves, and the Bible says that the ship was full. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have been real nervous myself. Because I can't swim good. And I don't even take a bath. I mean, I don't like to be in over my ankles. That's just too much for me. I don't like it. I'm not a water person. Some people are. But I would not have liked to have been out on that ship. And that boat full of water. And the Lord's back there. The Bible said asleep on a pillow. He wasn't just taking a nap. He was laid out. Asleep on a pillow. And so finally they can't take it anymore, and they run back and they say, Lord, carest not that we perish. I'll tell you what, we think to ourselves when little storms come in our lives that we're going to sink, don't we? That's how we are. Oh, there's a problem. Oh, there's a storm. Oh, something's going on my life. We're going to sink. We're going to go down. We're in trouble. So they ran back and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How many times have we done the same thing? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I just imagine that in my mind. And I imagine that before Jesus stood up and said anything, they was in them great big, you know, the ship going way up and way down. And just thinking about it makes me sick this morning. But I believe when Jesus stood up and said, peace be still, I believe it just went, and it was over. And it was done. And here just a few minutes ago, they thought they were going to die. They thought they were going to drown. They thought they were going to sink. That's how it is in our lives. We think, oh, we're about to give up the ghost. We're done for. You know the key to keep from sinking? Our church will not sink. Other churches will not sink as long as he's in the ship. That's how to keep from sinking. You keep him in the ship. You keep the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon him. And I'm telling you, he is not going to let us sink. Sometimes we think, oh no, we're going to sink. Well, I got thinking about them other little ships, and I wondered to myself, I wonder if any of them drowned. They's all in the storm. I mean, the storm would have affected all the water, and the Bible says that there were other little ships. But if you look back in verse number 36, I do not believe that any of those ships sank in the storm. Because it said in the last part of verse 36, and there were also with him Boy, I like that. With Him. If you and I are with Him, we're not going to sink. They weren't out there on their own. They were out there with Him, thank God, this morning. That'll bless your heart if you get to thinking about it. And they were with Him. I also noticed in verse 35 it said, "And the same day when the end was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." And chapter 5 verse 1 says, "And they came over unto the other side." Praise God, they were with Him. They didn't sink in the storm. Boy, that's how we are sometimes. We say, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" But I'm telling you this morning, He cares a whole lot about if we perish or not. And if He is in our fellowship, then we are not going to sink. That ought to bless your heart this morning. There's the witnesses in the Bible. There's Noah and his fellowship. There's the disciples and their fellowship. But I want to think just a minute this morning about Jonah and his fellowship. I always like to read and study about Jonah. And I think about Jonah. You know, Jonah was a preacher. We all know that. In fact, he was a prophet. And I'm not going to turn over there this morning because most people know about the story of Jonah, but Jonah went down to Joppa. Now, Jonah was running from God. God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah made up his mind. He said, "I don't want to go to Nineveh. And I'm going to get away from God. And I'm going to get away from the presence of the Lord." And the Bible says that he went down to Joppa. And the Bible says that he paid the fare thereof. Some things will cost you more than you think they will. And he paid the fare thereof, the Bible says, and he got on a ship, the Bible says, going down to Tarshish, which was in the opposite direction of the direction that the Lord wanted him to go. Now, if anybody would have seen Jonah go down there and would have seen Jonah get on that boat, they would have said, "Well, Jonah, just like everybody else, he's a fellow in the ship. He's in there with all the rest of them." And it would appear that he was in fellowship. I mean, he was a fellow creature upon the ship. That's one of them fellow words. He was a fellow peer. He was a man just like they were men. He was a fellow traveler upon the ship. He was a fellow sufferer. When the storm came, he was in the same boat as the rest of them. If the ship would have went down during the storm, he'd have went down with them. Who'd argue this morning that Jonah was not in the fellowship? But I'm telling you, the Word of God said in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 7, it said, "And they said every one to his fellow." There's that word. They said, when the storm came upon the sea, and they didn't know what the problem was, and nothing they were doing was working to get them out of that mess, they said one another to his fellow. The Bible said, "Come, and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. The lot fell upon Jonah, the Bible says. And you know, I guess as they got to looking around and thinking about that on that day, they might have thought to themselves, you know what, Jonah is not as in fellowship as we might have thought he was. Because he sure wasn't a fellow laborer. He sure wasn't a fellow worker in the ship. Do you know what? Read Jonah chapter 1 when you get home. Do you know while they were up there rowing and they were up there praying and they were up there thinking they were going to drown? Do you know what the Bible says Jonah was doing? He was down in the sides of the ship asleep. He wasn't a fellow worker. He wasn't a fellow laborer with them. He wasn't a fellow member of that crew like they thought, you know, when they took him on. They didn't know all these problems that they were going to get out of Jonah. So you know what happened to Jonah later on in chapter number 1? Jonah got out of fellowship, didn't he? That's what the Bible says. I mean, they tried for a while to keep him in. They said, boy, they cast lots. And they said, you know, it fell on Jonah. And they said, what are we going to do? Jonah said, throw me off the ship. And they said, I'm paraphrasing now. They said, boy, we hate to do that. And so they tried and they worked harder all they could to keep Jonah in the ship. But do you know what? Nothing they did was going to stop the storm. Finally, they said, "All right, your blood's not on us." And they put Noah out of the fellowship. And he ended up in the sea. We all know the story there about how the whale came along and all of those things. But I'm telling you, that's only... Do you know the most dangerous thing you can have in church sometimes is somebody that you think is in fellowship, but actually they're out of fellowship. That's how Jonah was. Had they continued to try to save Jonah's life by not putting him out of the fellowship, then I'm telling you what, they'd all went down with Jonah in the sea, because it was God's will that Jonah go to Nineveh. But Jonah had to be dealt with in a supernatural way. So the Bible said that God, the Lord, had prepared a great whale. You know, that's exactly how it is in church sometimes. So many times in church, you'll have people there working, they're laboring, they're fighting through the storms that come and giving and doing all they can just as hard as they can. And you'll look around and lo and behold, there's somebody hanging their feet off the back of the ship, dragging their feet in the water. And you all look around and say, "I thought you was in the fellowship." But you're acting more like it's a pontoon and we're down at the lake. And I'm telling you, in and out and jumping in the world and crawling back in the ship and all of that stuff. I'm telling you, God never called us to run a carnival ship. I was studying in Webster's in 1828. That's when he published the dictionary. He said, most ships are only designated in two categories. They are either a warship or a merchant ship. That's a supply ship. And that's how it is in the church too. We are in a battle. And the devil would like to sink every one of us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom we may devour. We are to be fellow soldiers together in the work and in the fight for the faith. We're fellow soldiers together. And we're fellow suppliers together. We've got a work to do. Missionaries, churches, preaching the gospel, getting the word of God out. There's supply to be had. And nowhere in the Bible, Kim has said a lot of times she'd like to go on a cruise, but I'll tell you, I just can't find that in the Bible. It's hard for me. Like I said, I get to thinking about getting out there on the water, and I don't know, it's just unsettling to me. But a lot of people think that's what the church is a cruise ship, a carnival ship. We're just in here to have fun, do what we want to do, live how we want to live, eat it up, live it up, and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, God never called us to run a carnival ship. We are to be in the fellowship together. There's the witness of the fellowship. And I'm moving along this morning, number three. And last of all, not only is there the word of fellowship and the witness of fellowship, but back in Acts chapter number 8, or Acts chapter number 2, I want to say just a little bit about the way of fellowship. Now, this is the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. And in verse number 42, you will notice that fellowship is right in the middle of this verse. It's the exact middle. The word "and fellowship" is the middle of that verse. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fellowship is in the middle. On one side, now this is important, on one side you have doctrine. That's on one side of the fellowship. And on the other side of fellowship you have the breaking of bread. Now, if we're going to be in fellowship, we've got to have both. We've got to have doctrine, and we've got to have the breaking of bread. Now, doctrine, that is our spiritual food. That doctrine means teaching. It is our spiritual teaching. It is our charter. our charter. God has given us His Word, and it's not up to me to run things how I want to run things. It's not up to you to run things how you want to run things. It's up to us to follow God's charter, the doctrine of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we live in a day and a time. There's a lot of people, they'll stand up and make an ignorant statement, and they'll say something like, oh, we don't stress doctrine down at our church. We just love each other and get along and all that bunch of junk. If somebody says something like that, if they're saved, they are a baby. They are a baby in the faith. To get up and say something like that, doctrine isn't important, you don't know a thimbleful of the Word of God. How else are we going to grow? The Bible says, 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Where are you going to get knowledge from if you don't get it from the doctrines of the Word of God? We're to grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, he said, preach the word. How are we going to preach the word if we don't preach doctrine? Doctrine is important. You say, I don't know what doctrine is. You hear it all the time, whether you know it or not or realize it or not. It's just the Word of God. He said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said in verse 3, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's the day and time we are. We are living in. The time is here. They don't want to hear sound doctrine, but they will turn to themselves teachers having itching ears, is what the Bible says. So if we're going to really have fellowship, we've got to have doctrine. We've got to follow the Word of God and do what it says. Know what it says. We've got to have doctrine. Then on the other side, we've got to have breaking of bread. Now breaking of bread, that refers to our spiritual family. Somebody said in the choir this morning, I think it was Brother Norman, but he said he's glad to be in the family of God. I know there's a lot of people think they can go along just fine. They don't need the church. They don't need other Christians, but I've been around a lot of them, and a lot of them are just old sourpusses that can't get along with nobody and try to cover it up by talking all spiritual about not needing the church. But I'm telling you, God gave the church for a reason. And when these people got saved, first thing they did, they got together. They began breaking of bread. You ever seen that Titanic movies, you know, or a movie of a shipwreck, and after it's over, they're all out there floating in the water, the ones that didn't drown, and they're hanging on for their life. That's how it was before Pentecost. But when Peter stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost of God came by in His rescue ministry and picked up and snatched 3,000 people from dying and going to hell and put them all in the same ship. And when they found each other there in that newborn assembly and them newborn believers, when they found somebody they could partner up with and get together with, you know what? They wanted to fellowship together. They begin to spend time together. They continued steadfastly, is what the Word of God says in these things. And so there's the breaking of bread. That's our spiritual family, our spiritual relationship. That's our communion together. Now look what it said in verse 42. Doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. Look down to verse 44. Say, I don't know if that's really what it was talking about. Look what the Bible said. Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Notice they were together. Verse number 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They enjoyed spending time together. Church ought to be a blessing. We ought to go away encouraged, not discouraged. We ought to go away lifted up. We ought to come together, together. Not in disaccord, but in one accord. I was looking and reading that last night, and verse 44 said, and all that believed were together. You know, there's no such thing as a one gather. It's together. You can't... You say, preacher, you don't know how to spell. I might be stretching it. You can't have a one gather. You got to have a two gather. You got to have two people get together in one accord, in fellowship, in companionship, in partnership. And if you don't have that, you don't have a church. I'm not going to be able to do anything for God. Oh, there's a lot of fellowships across the land. They've got all of 5 or 6 members. And they stay mad at each other half the time, but they'll tell you, oh, we're doctrinal, buddy. We're straight down the line. You got to have fellowship. You got to have the family. You got to have the family of God. And so they were together is what the Bible says. And I'm preaching this morning on the subject, are you or are you not in the fellowship? 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The only basis for our fellowship is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's called us together. That's why we're together this morning. It's all because of Him. And being in fellowship involves two things. One, we are in fellowship with Him. And we are in fellowship with each other. And you can't be in fellowship with having both sides of fellowship the way that they ought to be. The doctrine and the breaking of bread and coming together. And so there's the fellowship in verse number 42. I'll read it again and I'm closing this morning. The Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes